Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning. And it's that time of the week. We go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. Charles, what's going on, brother? How are we doing?
I'm doing well, brothers. How you guys doing this morning?
We're doing great. Appreciate you taking time to join us. So, Charles, I want to start here with the Titans and Colts game this week, and obviously a big win for the Titans. They move to 2-1, but I'm interested to get your vantage point on the Colts. They're 0-3. This has obviously been an injury-riddled season to begin the season for them. Has the 0-3 start made you think any differently about Frank Reich and Chris Ballard and that entire operation in Indy, or do you just simply chalk it up to they've just sustained an incredible amount of injuries thus far?
No, I think the injuries, especially with the offensive line, have wreaked a lot of havoc. I mean, you go back to the success that Frank and Chris Ballard have had together, and it's typically been when that offensive line has been functional, you know, completely healthy, and they've suffered some attrition there. And I think the inability to figure out quarterback-wise, look, the gamble on Carson Wentz, I get it. The thing that makes me a little nervous when I watch Wentz is he's still doing some of the things that he did in Philadelphia that really cost him his career there. And when you would talk to people in the Eagles front office after he went out the door, you know, there were just certain elements of coaching him where he was very stubborn, and you know, there were mechanical things that they tried to work on with him that he would regress back into bad habits. And then there was an element of his health where he was constantly trying to extend plays, or he was taking risks health-wise that were leading to him being really abused out there. And, you know, with the Eagles, particularly when the offensive line wasn't good, that's when I think he kind of fell apart as a player. And you can't have that repeat itself in Indianapolis. You're going to get the same results, and that's what you're seeing. You're seeing an offensive line that's just extremely beat up, not able to protect him, and he is just not, for whatever reason, capable of figuring out how to protect himself. And, you know, there's a lot that goes into that. I think part of it is he processing fast enough? Are the skill position players around him good enough for him to make those fast decisions, or is he having to hold on to the ball, you know, for guys to get open? Is he capable of manufacturing things when plays break down without putting himself into scenarios where, you know, he's throwing balls over his shoulder, or he's, you know, throwing shovel passes when he's getting dragged down by, you know, defensive linemen? It's not a great situation, obviously, for the Colts. And I think first and foremost, they're going to have to figure out how to get that offensive line healthy. And it's not, I think one of the least fixable things in the NFL right now is if your offensive line falls apart mid-season. Most teams don't have the depth to deal with that. And it's hard to just start swapping around pieces. You know, hey, oh, we've got a backup tackle. We think he can play guard. Now we're going to plug him in at guard and hope that works. Or, you know, the center's not playing great, so we're going to move over our guard, who's a decent guard, and he's going to play some center. You know, once you start shuffling things like that, that all has to be done in the off season to prepare yourself for situations like this. So, you know, I just don't know how fixable this is going to get with, you know, Wentz really needing a very good offensive line in front of him, you know, to keep him upright and probably making better decisions than he's making right now.
So 3 weeks in, concerned about the Chiefs, totally buying in on Stafford and the Rams. Is Denver the biggest paper tiger ever? Are you laughing every hour or so about the Lions? Give me your overview here.
The season's been nuts. Like, it's crazy. I mean, Cincinnati's in first place, okay?
Yeah.
The Las Vegas Raiders are in first place, and the Kansas City Chiefs are in last place in the AFC West. Oh, and the Denver Broncos are undefeated. You know, the Carolina Panthers have the best scoring defense in the NFL right now, and Sam Darnold looks like a pretty good player. Aaron Rodgers has been bad and good all in one season. It's been wild. I think it's I think one thing I take away from this, particularly watching Dallas last night, put up a good game where they really realistically could have scored in the mid-50s if they had cleaned up a couple of mistakes. And Mike McCarthy actually wants to score points before halftime. You know, they could have scored in the mid-50s, and I looked at that Dallas offense, and I'm like, you know, this offense is amazing. They're everything that they're cracked up to be, and they don't even have Michael Gallup on the field. Now they're using a backup running back who's flashing and looking really good, capable of pushing Zeke for carries. They have tight ends who are contributing. The offensive line is healthy. Lyle Collins is suspended, you know, and it will get better when Lyle Collins comes back. And then defensively, you know, Micah Parsons has been great, you know, flexed as a defensive end at times. Trevon Diggs looks amazing. And I'm sitting there and I'm looking at the Cowboys and I'm like, I legitimately, even though they're beating the hell out of a bad team, I can't say that this team can't factor at some point later in the season as sort of an NFC elite. And that's not because I'm high on the Cowboys. It's just because I think there's total chaos, you know, in the NFL right now. Arizona looks great, but Arizona looked great the first half of last season. We don't know if the second half fade comes. You know, Kyler Murray gets banged up. Things can change pretty quickly there. Matt Stafford looks like an MVP with the LA Rams, but he's probably been as clean in terms of getting hit as any quarterback in the NFL right now, which is pretty remarkable considering their offensive line was a big question mark entering the season. You know, you bring up the Chiefs. I'm not pushing the panic button on the Chiefs yet, but they definitely need a third. Teams have figured out they're sending 3 and 4 guys at Patrick Mahomes, and then they're basically looking at the Chiefs. They're saying, look, either Clyde Edwards-Helaire is going to hurt us, and we don't think that's going to happen consistently. You can get crazy, and Patrick Mahomes can start hurting us by running the ball, which is, you know, the Chiefs aren't going to let that happen. Or you're going to have to find a third guy because we're going to take, you know, six and seven defenders at a time, and we're basically going to flood the zone and keep you from throwing big plays to Kelce and Tyreek Hill. Find a third option. I guess we're going to find out if Josh Gordon can be that guy because they can't seem to get it out of some of the other depth there. You know, I just think it's a fantastically wide open season right now, and it's hard to really stare at one team, put our finger on it, and say, you know, that team's definitely going to be here in the second half of the season. We love the Rams. I see the Rams. I look at power rankings. People are putting the Rams at the top of a lot of their power rankings right now. Well, I mean, the Rams don't have a running game, okay? The offensive line still has plenty to prove, and, you know, defensively, I think, look, let them go through the teeth of the NFC West schedule, and we'll start to find out how good the Rams are, because the NFC West is going to be a bloodbath, and the worst team in the NFC West might be Seattle. That doesn't sound appetizing to anybody playing in the division. So it's going to be, I think what we're looking at right now, 8 weeks from now, we're going to look back and go, oh, yeah, you know, we made a lot of, you know, assumptions about the way things were going and everything's flipped.
Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, Charles, the return coming up on Sunday night. Tom Brady heading back to Foxborough to take on the New England Patriots. Obviously, there's a lot going into this game, and there's going to be a lot of eyeballs on this game. What intrigues you the most about Brady's return to New England, whether that's the game itself, the reception? What comes to mind when I ask you what intrigues you the most about this game?
Well, I mean, I guess it's like nothing we've ever seen just in terms of an iconic player. I mean, a guy who will always be in the conversation about the greatest NFL player in history returning back, you know, to a place where legitimately, had they held on to him, could still be playing at a high level right now. Like, do I think it was – it's funny because Dan Watson and I kind of argued this on our podcast about whether it would have been the right decision for the Patriots to – hold on to Tom or find a way to keep Tom in the fold, and whether things might be a lot better for the Patriots right now. Could they have rebounded a little more quickly than I thought? I think the answer to that's probably no, because you don't know if Rob Gronkowski is a part of that, and Gronk's been a huge piece of success in Tampa. You know, they weren't going to bring Antonio Brown back into the fold. That's what Tom got in Tampa. I don't know that some of the other additions that were made in Tampa could have happened in a place like New England. So I think it's you know, I think Brady probably said it best where he said it's like right now is probably not the best time to reflect on, and I'm paraphrasing here, right now is probably not the best time to reflect on the departure and the two sort of the Patriots and Belichick splitting and Brady going his own way. But it'll be something that, you know, historically we look back on, and I think there will be a lot of second guessing about what could have, especially if Tom plays more than just 2 years in Tampa, what could have potentially happened had he stayed in New England, whether or not that, you know, his sort of second wind of his career could have happened still in a Patriots uniform.
So how about those double middles from Eli last night? I'm a growing Eli Manning fan, I gotta say. Like, he brings something to that. Sometimes they don't let him talk for like 10 minutes in a row, but he comes with some stuff.
Yeah, no, he's kind of the guy who takes the show off the rails at times. Like, the double middle finger, I gotta respect the guy who throws them up and then afterwards says, "You can blur that out, right?"
Yeah.
I'm like, that's my kind of guy. Go ahead and make your decision, and then later see if someone can clean it up for you.
Ask for forgiveness.
That's right.
So, yeah, I'm sure there had to be a producer like in the back, like, that's not how live TV works. You can't just throw up. I thought it was amazing, and I flipped back and forth between the broadcast, but I had not like flipped back to it, and I'm on Twitter, of course. And then I just start seeing like Eli Manning threw up double middle fingers to America, and I'm like, "This is people are being facetious, right? Like, this didn't really happen. Like, it was a fantastic. It's unfortunate they have to take a break because it's been entertaining, and I loved it that he had to apologize. Chris Long's like cracking up the whole time he's apologizing. And then Peyton apologizes, as I encouraged him to do it. I'm like, this is, ESPN somehow stumbled into just absolutely great theater, and it's added. I never would have thought this was the way to add an extra element of entertainment to Monday Night Football, but it's definitely been a lot of fun. And I'm with you. I think there have been times where Eli Manning has definitely caught me with, you know, with literally an out loud chuckle with some of the things he does and says.
Charles,
don't bleep yourself, America.
<That's right. laughs> Charles, last thing here before we let you go, I do have to get your thoughts on what might be the perfect summation of the Detroit Lions franchise on Sunday. You bring out one of your all-time great players in Calvin Johnson to honor him at halftime, and the whole place starts booing the ownership group, and then you lose on an NFL record 66-yard field goal from Justin Tucker. If there was a day that is Detroit Lions Day, I believe it was Sunday.
The Calvin Johnson thing, first off, like, one of the largest managerial blunders in the history of the NFL, literally. I mean, this is over like $1.6 million. And I'm sitting here and I'm like, you have gotten like 20, 30 times that in bad press. Like, this is the dumbest. Just give them the money and be like, you know what, we had people running the team making decisions where, you know, there wasn't a lot of foresight about what this decision really meant for our team and this player. And yet, you know, you bring them back and the owner's getting booed when she's introducing them. And you have Matt Stafford, who's turned into a league MVP. he leaves the team. There's like, hey, this guy looks like an MVP now. He's made one Pro Bowl for the Lions during 10, you know, whatever it was, 10 years of prime, 11 years of prime. And yeah, and then you go out and, by the way, like, you blow, what was it, 4th and 19?
Yeah.
Like, it was ridiculous. Like, this, you trot out a horrible defense. You blow it on 4th and 19 or whatever the down was, 4th and forever. And then, you know, there's a clock issue where they get another second and a half, you know, where it should have been delay game, it wasn't. And then this guy who, you know, the last time he was in Ford Field cranked a 61-yard field goal. He hits a 66, and not only, like Lions fashion, it was great because it wasn't like the kill shot where it just went through and you knew it was over. Like, it had to hit the cross.
You had a half second of maybe thinking you still had a chance.
Yeah. Like, just this second and a half of like misery where you're like, oh my God, what's going to happen? Is that going in? Yeah, it's that franchise just is.
It's beautiful.
It blows
it's amazing.
My mind. The decision. It's unreal. It really is. Like it's. I can't even the Browns. That was the thing about the Browns. All the ineptitude that the Browns had over those years. You couldn't say, well, look at they've had a couple first ballot Hall of Famers. You know, Stafford could still become that guy eventually. You know, what if Stafford has the flourish at the end? You know, what if he's like Kurt Warner when Kurt Warner goes to Arizona and really truly stamped himself? Like Kurt Warner was going to be a Hall of Famer, probably her first ballot Hall of Famer. There was no question though when you know he kind of had that second life after the looking horrible with the Giants, leaves St. Louis, looks horrible with the Giants. He goes to Arizona and, you know, rejuvenates himself. I mean, there's a chance this Matt Stafford could really emerge into, like, maybe even a first ballot Hall of Fame quarterback. It's not impossible. And the Detroit Lions just wasted all these players. You know, it's, I don't know, man. It's unbelievable to see this happen over and over with them. And I don't even know how you resolve it.
It's the gift that keeps on giving.
Sell the team.
That's right. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Show. Charles, great stuff, man. Appreciate you taking time to join us.
All right, appreciate it. Thanks for having me, guys.
Absolutely. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. We'll come back. We'll react to what Charles had to say there. Take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. After 20 years on the same sideline, Tom Brady and Bill Belichick meet this weekend as opponents. It's the GOAT QB versus the GOAT head coach, and you could be a part of the epic showdown with unbelievable odds on FanDuel Sportsbook. Right now, new customers can win $125 on a $5 bet if either team scores a touchdown. That's right, 25-1 odds on any touchdown anytime during the Tampa-New England game. I think Tom Brady's going to throw a few of those. I really like the Buccaneers in this game. But offers like this are just one of the many reasons I love betting the NFL on FanDuel. It's the number one rated sportsbook app in America. It's easy to use, safe, and secure, and you get your money quickly in as little as 24 hours. So if you're new, sign up for FanDuel Sportsbook today using promo code ROB and make your first bet one for the history books. Don't forget to use promo code ROB so they know that I sent you. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. New users only. A $10 first deposit required. Must wager in designated offer market. Max bonus of $125. Bonus for Tennessee users fulfilled in site credit within 72 hours. Tennessee site credit expires 14 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Are you struggling to find and retain good employees? Well, we can help. Cromwell Media invites you to attend one of our two free recruitment and retention seminars hosted by Chris Stonick on October the 5th or 6th. For the past 33 years, Stonick has helped hundreds of companies find newer, more cost-efficient ways to recruit qualified employees. You can learn new recruitment strategies, enjoy a continental breakfast, and be eligible to win door prizes. Go to thegamenashville.com/register for more info and to sign up. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube today and every day. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Remember, FDIC, equal housing lender. We'll be joined here in about 7 minutes by David Ubben from The Athletic. So looking forward to that conversation with him. Lots to get into in the world of college football. So that's coming up next with David Ubben. Thanks to Charles Robinson for joining us in the last segment. It has been a wild 3 weeks in the NFL. Like, there's so much really going good on. The Chiefs are in last place. The games largely have been incredible. I mean, it's been a really great start to the NFL. And again, I said it yesterday, I don't know how much just seeing fans in the stands has to do with that. And, you know, adding to that, I'm sure that's some of it, but the games themselves have been awesome for the most part. And it's been a wild start to league play in the NFL.
What's the team that I'm trying to think of the way to phrase this. What's the team that is most different right now from what we thought they were, what you thought they were after week one?
Mm.
And I mean in reality, because I'm not at all worried about the Chiefs. Like, I'm just not worried about them. And I don't buy the Broncos for a second. That's the weakest schedule you could ever have. They're like a 9-8 kind of team.
I am starting to buy the Raiders a little bit more. I think the Raiders, if Derek Carr keeps playing the way that he's been playing, I think the Raiders can win a lot of games. I think they can be very good. Now, I still am not quite willing to say that I fully trust Derek Carr yet because I've seen this before. But the Raiders look awfully impressive to me so far.
Yeah.
And they've done it without Josh Jacobs basically all year.
Yeah, that's the thing. You get him going if you do. That bodes well. I'm trying to think like obviously Buffalo stunk it, but I wasn't worried about them either. They look more like them.
Well, the Titans.
Right.
They were off on week one.
They were. And, of course, around here that means just pure carnage, but I still was the same thing. Like, big picture, I didn't think that was them.
Packers. You know? There's a lot of overreacting in week one.
Yeah. Now, I'm kind of with Charles on, I hate to do it, hate to think it, but I think the Cowboys might be pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, their defense has gotten to the point of, it's kind of like, I mean, they're kind of like the Titans in a way. Like, be okay on D. Be okay on D. Obviously, be healthy on offense. You might have something. They are pretty dynamic offensively, man.
Yeah.
Dak looks really good. He's emerging. I don't know where he is in the, you know, in the ranking of quarterbacks or what tier. He's a second tier, I would say. But he's probably pretty high second tier.
I would say the team that looks maybe the most different from week one that maybe was just a total aberration in week one, the Steelers are not good. Like, and we had Taylor from Fort Campbell on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, say he's a Bengals fan and he's never seen a Steelers team roll over like he just saw on Sunday and just take the beating. They have not looked good so far. They were throttled by the Bengals.
I just haven't been able to watch a lot of them. Like some teams, obviously primetime games help a lot in terms of being able to see teams if you cover a team.
Sure.
But yeah, I've been like surprised by everything with them. Surprised they beat the Bills and then surprised by how crappy they've looked since. I still have this like, Mike Tomlin and the DNA, and they got tough players, and they've got some good defensive talent. Like, I still feel like they can get it to respectability, but.
Like, I'm thinking about it right now. Like, they play the Packers on Sunday, and I'm like, all right, well, Aaron Rodgers is about to lay a whooping on the Pittsburgh Steelers, but it's Pittsburgh. Like, in the back of my mind, I'm still thinking, still the Steelers, man. They can show up and shock you at any time.
Yeah, yeah. But it does look bad. And again, even like just the first month of the season in the NFL can often look silly later.
And yet with all this craziness, the Lions are exactly who we thought they were.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. They're amazing. How about just the LA versus LA in LA Super Bowl scenario?
Yeah. It's on the table. I will admit, I have been very impressed by the Chargers. You know, I was not a huge believer in the hype of the Chargers. I thought the hype maybe was a little extreme, and who knows, maybe it will end up being extreme. Justin Herbert looks awfully good first few weeks of the season.
He does. Mike Williams is a problem. They had talent last year. They were one of those classic, they're going to regress the other way in a good way because they lost so many close games teams. We'll see, but I think the hype's looking more justified than I thought as well on them. There's a lot. I mean, just going through the – it's perfect for the NFL.
Yeah.
But, like, going through the power rankings that we have to do every week, I mean, like, you get into, like, the middle, like, right around the fringe of the playoffs, into, like, the low 20s. You got some good football – like, Minnesota Vikings, that's a pretty good football team. I do think the Carolina Panthers, I don't think they're a first-place football team for long. But
defense is good. The defense travels.
Legit D. Now, you know, you got McCaffrey hurt again, but you get him back, and if Darnold is, I mean, just, I actually need to, like, find some New York talk radio.
See, yeah, that's cool.
If Darnold has a good year and Zach Wilson keeps playing like this, yeah. Oh, my gosh. But, again, on the Zach Wilson front, well, he's a rookie QB, okay? But on the just Darnold, you know, giving up on him and he goes somewhere, oh, boy. And then Chicago, I mean, is he the most fireable head coach
right
now?
He's going to get fired. He will be fired, and he will not make it through the end of the season.
Like, he actually just said, yeah, there's three guys with a chance to start. He's actually opened up the QB competition now, including Nick Foles.
He's going to be fired.
That's
good stuff.
Astounding.
Don't miss Nashville's best NFL pregame show live from the Corner Pub in Brentwood this Sunday. The NFL pregame show features Jared Stillman, Mark Howard, and former Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders. Join them from 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. live at the Corner Pub in Brentwood prior to the Titans taking on the New York Jets. The NFL pregame show is brought to you by TriStar Moving, Parman Tractor and Equipment, FreedomTireGuys.com, FanDuel, E2 Roofing, Hillside Medical, Social Furniture, and Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey. When we come back, we'll be joined by David Ubben from The Athletic. We'll look into all things college football with him. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations, member FDIC, equal housing lender. And we are pleased to go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend David Ubben from The Athletic. David, what's going on, man? How we doing?
Not much, guys. I appreciate the invite. It's a fascinating week of college football away.
It has been a fascinating week for sure, and really a fascinating season up until this point, David. If I were to ask you how many elite teams do you think there are right now in college football, what would your answer be? Ohio State's had their bumps. Oklahoma's not looked all that great. Obviously, Clemson, that's another story, and we'll get into that here in a few minutes. But how many elite teams do you think there are right now in college football?
How about one and a half? Alabama and maybe Georgia. We'll find out a little bit more about them this weekend when they host Arkansas. But I mean, it sort of depends, because if you eliminate Alabama from the conversation, you know, while there's quote unquote no elite teams, that second class of probably number two to number, I'd say 12 or so, if you cut it off at like Ole Miss, there's a bunch of teams in there that are really good. People have been crying for new blood in the playoff, and myself included there, and I think we're going to get it this year.
Yeah, I mean, I'm actually borderline giddy, David, that this season has – I mean, really, it's just been way more interesting than I thought, you know?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, Clemson looks very, very average. Ohio State looks pretty beatable and unfocused at times. Alabama is still Alabama, but they don't look like they're immortal. They don't look like a full NFL team. You know, we'll see what Georgia can offer. You know, Oregon, you know, they've got a good win. Do you trust them to not slip up? I personally don't. I mean, you know, if you're a team like Cincinnati, you've got another huge opportunity this week, playing Notre Dame. You know, this is going to be an interesting year. I'd like to see a G5 team crack the playoff. I think Cincinnati has the blueprint if they go undefeated. You know, when you look at that lack of elite teams, I mean, if they're sitting there undefeated and they're the only undefeated team other than Alabama, it's hard to see them getting held out.
Yeah, well, on the point of Cincinnati, I love where they are, because I don't think Notre Dame is great, but Notre Dame has found a way. And so that's that. If you get this win this week, that should be very valuable for you, just based on the fact that Notre Dame's figured a way to navigate all this and get to here, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, nothing that anybody has seen from Notre Dame, you know, looks that impressive, but they're still 4-0. They're still going to win a bunch of games this year. And that's a pretty big skin on the wall if you're Cincinnati and you get it done. So, this is going to be really interesting. You know, like the door has never been more open than it is right now for a G5 team, or really anybody. You know, maybe that's Ole Miss. We'll find out when they play Alabama this weekend. I mean, for a long time, you know, there was a lot of truth to, well, Clemson's going to be there because nobody in the ACC can beat them. Ohio State's going to be there because nobody in the Big Ten can beat them. And Alabama's Alabama, and there might be another, you know, behemoth team from the SEC that's in there, but, you know, you've got that. But then there's basically one spot up for grabs. Well, this year it feels a lot more like three or four spots are up for grabs, and I think that's going to be good for the sport.
David Ubben from The Athletic on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And, David, obviously a huge win for Arkansas against A&M, and we're about to find out a lot more about Arkansas playing against Georgia coming up this Saturday and then Ole Miss the Saturday after that. But my question for you is this: how has Sam Pittman been able to turn things around at Arkansas so quickly to now having them at number 8 in the nation this early on, when that roster was in rough shape when he took over?
Well, it's a handful of things. You know, I think people are you know, shocked when they see how quickly they flipped it at Arkansas, and that's somewhat fair. But a few things. One, you know, if you look at their total talent composite, you know, Chad Morris didn't win a lot of games, but he recruited pretty well. You know, they're in the 20s in terms of, you know, pure talent. It's not like we're sitting here watching Kansas football go from Kansas to the top 10. It's not the same. It's similar, but it's not the same. So they're in the 20s in the talent aspect of it. Sam Pittman didn't bring with him some miraculous system or some sort of something. They believed in him as a program builder. And part of that is you got to hire good coordinators. And he's got two really good ones in Barry Odom, who's about as good of a defensive coach as there is. The Arkansas defense is really overlooked. And then Kendall Briles, obviously, is a guy who, you know, how many versions of Baylor's offense are being, you know, run around the country? I mean, there's not a lot of people running it as well as Arkansas is right now. Ole Miss is probably the only one that's better, but there's probably a dozen or so, maybe less, that are running basically that Baylor offense from Art Briles. So you got two really good coordinators there. And I think the biggest thing is, you know, he's tried to fit guys into roles that they can into roles and pieces that they can do. He's not bringing in his sort of rigid system and saying, well, you know, I inherited a really bad situation, so you guys got to be patient and give me 3 or 4 years. We're going to run what we run, and, you know, we got to recruit to it. We got to build around this. Well, it's tough to recruit in Arkansas. You know, he's fit their systems, their schemes, their concepts, their game plans to what they have because he wants to win now. He's not really willing to say, hey, we're going to, you know, be patient and build this thing into what we want. They've really built what they do around what they have, and what they have are really experienced linebackers. They believe in KJ Jefferson. They have incredible receivers, a really deep group there led by Treylon Burks. They have really good running backs, and their line play has been a little bit underrated, and they've added a couple key recruits. They raided the transfer portal for some linemen, and so they're really good on the line. They have really smart linebackers. Jalen Catalon, really underrated safety. And they're a better team, I think, than people realize, which is not really a ringing endorsement of Chad Morris. You know, I think they knew really early on when Sam Pittman there, hey, we got some players. We just got to build around them. And they've done that. And here, a year and a half, I don't know that anybody expected them to be quite this good, but they're not doing this, you know, with luck or turnovers or the scheme that nobody's seen before. They're beating people up on the lines, and that's really impressive.
So on the topic of your former beat, David, what are your impressions so far of Josh Heupel, the quarterback situation, and frankly, your former beat versus your alma mater Saturday? Very interesting game. I think it's a really important game for Josh Heupel. Where do you think things are with the Vols right now?
I mean, the talent deficiency kind of showed up on Saturday. You know, they were scheming some good things. I think Hendon Hooker doesn't have the same sort of ceiling as Joe Milton, but he seems to have an ability to operate the offense a little bit more efficiently. And when guys are open, I think Javonte Payton can attest that when guys are open, he seems to be able to connect down the field. And that's kind of a big deal. If you're scheming guys open, that doesn't really do you much if you don't have somebody who can get them the ball. So, you know, ultimately, it felt like the talent gap showed up in the second half there against Florida. Tennessee just doesn't have that much depth. They have some pieces, but across the field, it's a problem, and Florida kind of wore them out there in the second half. That drop pass from Jimmy Callaway obviously hurts. Felt like the game hinged a little bit, but it's also one play. I mean, they were getting dominated for most of that second half. They couldn't get a stop. That was an issue. You know, we'll see. I think Missouri will be a really good test for them, a very winnable game. You know, Faurot Field's not exactly, especially at noon, not exactly the most imposing road atmosphere. This is a team that just lost to Boston College. I mean, if Tennessee plays well, they should be able to win this game. But they're going to need, like, a B-plus, A-minus game, certainly better than they did against Pitt. You know, Connor Bazelak's not as good as Kenny Pickett, but he's really good. And he's a guy that if you know, are out of position, he's going to pick you apart. And Tennessee, you know, they sort of birthed him last year. Sean Robinson, yeah, who now plays safety for Missouri, actually was playing quarterback the first half, and Bazelak played pretty well in the second half against the Vols last year. So this is a very different Missouri team than the Vols really pounded last year.
David Ubben from The Athletic has been our guest here on Robbie and Rextra. Does a great job covering college football for The Athletic. David, great stuff, man. Appreciate you taking time to join us.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. David Ubben. Man, that guy, he's well-versed in all things college football.
Absolutely. And, you know, topics there, he covered Tennessee, went to Missouri. It's from Arkansas and has actually spent, you know, did a really great piece spending time with that program. That I'll tell you what, Sam Pittman, that's a great story.
Yeah.
And it is, you know, somewhat contrasted right now with the guy he just beat.
It is.
Who, man.
Maybe he'll get another contract extension.
Yeah, I guess so. They hand those out quite easily. In that
Life's
league.
Good for Jimbo down there.
What's the conversation? I need to find some Texas A&M message boards here.
Tune in to National Sounds Baseball tomorrow night on ESPN 94.9, presented by 312 Pizza Company and Farm Bureau Health Plans. The Sounds are on their final road trip of the season, taking on Indianapolis, the AAA affiliate of the Pittsburgh Pirates. First pitch is at 6:05. We'll come back. We'll continue the conversation on college football as a whole. Got more of your thoughts to get to on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Also have some tickets to give away. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Go to thegamenashville.com/deals to check out Nashville's best deals. Current deals include half off on gift cards for Retro Snow, Fat Cat Slim, Central Barbecue, Joyland in East Nashville, and Bad Axe Throwing in Nashville. Get your deal now while they last at thegamenashville.com/deals. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. We've got some tickets to give away here on the program. Be caller number 3 at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Caller number 3 will win a pair of tickets to see MTSU football as the Blue Raiders face Marshall at Floyd Stadium coming up this Saturday. You can catch all the action on ESPN 94.9. Coverage begins at 5 and kickoff is at 6. Caller number 3 at 615-737-1025 wins a pair of tickets to see MTSU take on Marshall coming up at Floyd Stadium this Saturday. Thanks to David Ubben for joining us in the last segment, talking all things college football, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Alan from Nashville texting in, regarding Arkansas, there's a reason that Chad Morris is coaching in the high school ranks right now. It's not look great in retrospect from Chad Morris in his time in Arkansas.
Yes, except, I mean, I'm glad David made that point. It's not like Sam Pittman took over just a completely destitute roster either. He's done great things with it, but Chad Morris, that's why he was there, was basically to recruit Texas.
Yep.
Obviously, it wasn't up to the full job, but he did bring in some guys.
I got a texter that says, what do y'all think of Kentucky this year? I believe we're going to be good. I don't like that Levis throws a pick every game, though.
Like early on, I'm like, watch out for the Wildcats with a guy who can throw the football at quarterback.
It's been a little less impressive
the
last couple weeks.
Yeah, they've kind of been bogged down. I don't know. I'm very interested to see how that Florida-Kentucky game goes.
This is a great weekend in the SEC.
It is.
It's a great weekend in the SEC.
Across the board.
You've got Ole Miss and Alabama, Arkansas and Georgia, which, by the way, Arkansas and Georgia.
Noon!
The 11 o'clock game coming up.
11 a.m.,
On Saturday. The number 8 team in the country, number 2 team in the country.
Yeah, and actually, so Seth Emerson, you know, friend of the show, works for The Athletic, has been writing about this week. Like, why the – he was even talking about this in the Vandy press box the other day. Like, are they going to still keep this game at noon? But – I mean, it's the biggest. They already obviously had already picked the, you know, Bama Ole Miss, which
yep.
You know, I wouldn't change that either for this one.
No,
but the noon or the 11 at noon Eastern 11 a.m. slot. That is a big actual audience, even though it may not feel like the big game, and it goes directly against, of course, the, you know, Fox is trying to go hard on the big noon kickoff of the Big Ten game. So that's a good one. It's full. It's chock full.
Auburn LSU this weekend,
sure.
Florida Kentucky, Tennessee Missouri. I think it's going to be a good game. Vanderbilt UConn,
prime time.
It is in prime time.
Prime time.
Yeah, like the worst game of the SEC slate outside of Vanderbilt UConn is probably South Carolina Troy. I mean Mississippi State A&M. That's an intriguing game to me.
Yeah, someone's going to be mad.
A&M's only a 7-point favorite in that game.
Boy, I mean, they have got so much talent. Boy. I don't know, Jimbo. I don't know, man. I mean, it hasn't been a long period of time.
Well, it just goes back to the contract. Like, look, Jimbo has done a good job there.
Sure.
But he's paid to do a good job.
He's paid to win a national championship.
Exactly. So the contract extension just makes no sense to me. He still has like 7 years left on the original deal.
Well, if I'm remembering correctly, that has something to do I believe it's been reported. That's sort of like heading off LSU at the pass kind of thing.
I guess.
If Coach O starts circling the drain.
Sure.
But, yeah, it's outrageous.
Eric and Bellevue baby. Texting in, Catter Day going to turn into a Gator Day. Hashtag Gator Nation.
Ooh,
I will be in Lexington for this, so I'm going to be very hype. And no, it's not going to turn into a Gator bath. Who was that, Gator Tim?
That was Eric and Bellevue.
Well, Eric, you know what? I'm going to just let the football do the talking on Saturday.
Oh, okay.
And I will report back on Monday with hopefully a win.
Florida so and
the family's going. You guys have tickets all set up?
We don't have tickets yet. We just decided I probably should text an old boss to figure out how to get tickets. My little sister is visiting UK. This is a big day, guys.
Uh-oh. It's a big Catter Day.
It's a big Catter Day.
Not your typical Catter Day.
Yep, that's Florida awesome. An eight-point favorite in this game. 8.5. The line's gone up. 8.5-point favorite.
At Kentucky.
Hmm. Yep.
Interesting.
I bet if that game was 2 weeks ago, the line would be like Florida plus or minus 1.5.
Like 4 or 3, right? Yeah. Yeah. I don't know, man. It's an intriguing game. It's a big one.
It is a big one.
I mean, we know the history of Kentucky and Florida. But I mean, let's face it, most of that history was like miles apart in terms of talent. You know, there's a lot of good games.
Concern level if you're a Clemson fan. Is this just a down year, or is this what life looks like without Deshaun Watson and or Trevor Lawrence as your quarterback?
Yeah, like I even saw, like, we've got a podcast with Staples, you know, and Ari Wasserman. You know, look, I understand why you go there, and Ari covers recruiting for us, so obviously he's very attuned to that. I don't buy that this is some – again, like when Saban lost to Ole Miss a few years ago, the dynasty is
it's over.
It's wobbling.
We're 6 foot buried and gone.
Yeah, I mean, I even think that this team, I understand that Uiagalelei has not been good.
Nice.
And their offense has not been good. They've been pretty bad. I wouldn't be surprised if, like, by November they look a lot more like Clemson this year. But no,
they're not getting into the college football playoff this year, though.
No.
Dunzo.
Yeah, I can't imagine. It would take an incredible chain of events to even get them into the discussion again. But I don't think it's some big long-term issue. It does hurt to lose a Trevor Lawrence, though.
Yeah, I think we're finding that out. It absolutely does. Well, that does it for us today here on the program. Hope everybody has a wonderful rest of their day.
Happy birthday!
Thank you. I appreciate it. 29 feels
Happy
good.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Darren Donica Chase coming up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.